Hey everyone, welcome to episode 3 of the Reality TV Rehab Ups podcast for the Challenge Vendettas. My name is Allie Lasher and I am joined by my very special guest, somebody I could never have a vendetta against, who is always welcome in my troika, Johnny Langan. How are you?
Oh shoot, I'm great, Allie. It is good to be back for the dirtiest season since the Dirty 30.
Yes, I know you were a little bit nervous about what could possibly happen based on what you've had to cover in the past as a guest host. We don't give our guest hosts any like time off. It's just like you come on and we're talking about racism. You're jumping right in. Hopefully you'll have a little more fun this time.
Love a good chat about violence against women that I was not prepared or well equipped to speak about. But I'm standing. Simone is standing. We're crushing the game.
So we, as you know, we've gotten a whole new crop of contestants from other shows on this season of The Challenge, which means we have maybe like two new listeners who are joining us who maybe haven't heard who you are, what's going on with you. So maybe give like a little quick intro and then fill us in on what you've been thinking about The Challenge Vendetta so far.
Oh my gosh. Well, for all the X on the beach stands that are now watching The Challenge, I'm Johnny. I went to college with you, Allie. And like my whole childhood was shaped around lusting after MTV shows because I was so busy all the time that the only thing I could watch were these marathons of Battle of the Sexes and all the challenge things. Like I was a product of the early aughts hardcore and have maintained my love of this show ever since. And I mean, these Brits and these Big Brother people are welcome additions, if you ask me. I'm loving just getting some fresh blood in there and seeing people who don't necessarily know how to play the game in the way it's been played for the past 6 or 7 seasons. I don't know. It's nice because it's fun to watch someone's like wide eyes and they don't know who has all the power. They don't know who's going to be showing up and actually good at the challenges or who's a strategic mastermind. So it's really refreshing. I mean, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's growing on me. Like I actually just had a conversation about something at school about this, that like change, especially for me, is like hard to adjust to. I like things how they are. But I think in practice, it's been going pretty well. Like new people to love, new people to hate. I think Natalie was the real standout of this episode for better or for worse for her game. And so we have a lot more to talk about than we may have had without the new blood on the season. So, you know, more to talk about, the better. I like hesitant to jump all the way in because there are people that like I feel like the way I feel right now is like preference for the people coming up the way. Like I almost feel like we grew up with the Real World Road Rules and then that fed into the challenge, like preference for the people who like paid their dues in the same way for me because I'm stuck in the past. I'm old school. I'm like upset at change. But I think it's been playing out really nicely. I think this is now the third episode. I think we've had 3 pretty good episodes. Lots to get into, and they have not been sleeping on Twitter. I am like almost try not to like, do not let me rush through this coverage of the show because I am so amped to talk about the social media. So they're bringing the drama, they're bringing life to the show. I'm tentatively fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, they have accents, which is immediately a plus. They're getting naked. They're winning challenges. They're hooking up in bathrooms. It's literally like, what else do I watch this show for? You know, like
literally
I want to see people be good at things and take their clothes off and jump in a pool and flirt with Cara Maria at a bar. Like, I want to see it. I want to see it all. And they're giving me everything.
Two unfortunate veterans who you want to talk about people. You want to see people being good at things. It's not exactly what we opened the show with in our first foray into the ring. Dun, dun,
no,
dun.
Balls of Fire was Deflategate 0.2. It was sad. It was so Nelson versus Corey. They're both somewhat pissed at Kyle for giving them a handshake, and then they're forced to enter the ring and do the challenge, which was or elimination challenge. Balls of Fire.
Before we talk about how like that, or you were going to set up the challenge. Say before we talk about like how it happens, I want to like isolate this conversation, like. Did you like this challenge separating out Nelson and Corey's performance?
No. No, it's just soccer on fire.
All right, set it up. Yeah, I totally interrupted you and you were going to segue right into that.
So they basically put a loose double door frame in the middle of a sand pit. And there's two fire goals, soccer goals on both sides. And the door frame gets lit on fire as well as the balls. And the first person to score on each other in like what seems to be a bit further than a penalty kick, it's more of a free kick, gets to stay in the house and the loser goes home. So basically they're getting soccer balls in theoretically shot at their face if they knew how to kick a soccer ball.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what the producers were or the challenge designers were hoping for with this challenge, right? Because MTV, especially in recent seasons, loves to do the slow-mo drama shot, loves, like, I see the pitch room of, like, we're going to have a fiery soccer ball kicked through the air, crossing over more fire, and then, like, a behemoth of a man jumping to try and slow-mo, like with the crazy music, deflect the balls, and it's going to be hot and sweaty and crazy and fire. And it just didn't happen. I think it's a big risk from a challenge standpoint, like that people who are athletic are going to be able to connect with the soccer ball in the way you need to get the good shots. Like soccer isn't just like you're good at kicking. Like I feel like not everyone would just be good at this.
Yeah, well, I think that's what has been pretty good about the challenges so far on this season is that different skill sets are required to succeed. Not everyone's good at cardio. Not everyone is super agile. Not everyone is crazy strong. Not everyone plays soccer. Like they were saying, if Victor got put in, he crushes it at soccer. So do Josh and Kyle are expected to be good at soccer because they're British men. Like, you put the right person in the right shoes and it's going to be a great success, or it could be this laughable failure. And I think for me, at least, both are entertaining, if not a great success.
So breaking down a little bit further, when we got left off on a cliffhanger here, who do you think was the favorite to win an elimination walking in? Like, who did you expect to walk out of here victorious?
Honestly, I feel like they're pretty evenly matched. I would probably prefer to see Corey win just because I think he has a bit more of a distinct personality and is a little more entertaining to watch. But I mean, as he said before he started, he's like, he lost last time and this was redemption. And so his track record is not proving to be one that you should expect him to come back.
Yeah, once I saw that he got the, I totally agree with that. Like, I think I was rooting for Corey, but it was anyone's game. Once I saw the full recap of him being eliminated during Champs versus Stars and everyone wanting, they like went to Alicia, who wants Corey to win. They went to Tony, who wants Nelson to lose. Corey's so great at his first kick and everybody just like Nelson's barely kicking it across the field. I was like, all right, Corey's losing this. You know, like there was no hiding it in the edit.
It was fun because these are two of the dudes. They're fresher veterans in that like they revere this game so much. And Nelson, I feel like you've talked about this a million times, just like waxes poetic about how deep and true of a challenge fan this guy is. And Corey is his best buddy. And there's this history between them. And then suddenly, so you're like expecting this kind of epic showdown. So I thought the buildup was really fun because once Nelson makes his first kick and it just like slowly, sadly rolls towards everyone else, it was like, oh, this is not going to be what we think it is. It's going to be pretty rough.
Yeah, definitely the most significant bummer for me of this challenge is that it like really came down to, as you said, when they had sudden death, no goalie. Nelson just kicks it across. Like I played soccer in third grade and I was just there for the orange slices and donuts. And like I could kick a better kick than this at that point. Like this was just like it peters across, rolls in. And then Corey can't even connect like strongly enough to get that done. And he's just out. And I want to know from your end, like, how consequential is this in terms of the Corey legacy? Like Edward Morris says, with another poor performance, is it time to jump off the Corey hype train?
Yes. I think that's the answer, right? Like he is not shown himself to be a great competitor. He is kind of like a more of a yappy, because he looks like he would be great, right? Like you look at that person, you're like, oh, that guy is going to be strong. He's going to do really well in these games because, like, brute strength usually gets you somewhere, but he might not actually be as strong or as coordinated as it's required. Like, he gasses out and gets eliminated pretty frequently near the beginning. I mean, I don't know. If he didn't have Mitch that one season, he really would have been screwed.
Oh, funny you should say that. Mike Christensen says, there's an alternate reality somewhere where instead of Corey in every post-Bloodlines challenge, they've had Mitch. Remember Mitch.
Remember Mitch. I feel like I've talked about Mitch every single time I'm here. And I mean, if that is not a sign of legacy, I don't know what is.
If talking about Mitch is wrong, I don't want to be right.
The biggest takeaway that I had from this elimination is Nelly. Nelly. Where I watched this episode with the one and only Molly Block, and once TJ called Nelson Nelly for the first time, we were both like, what? No way. Who is Nelly? And why was this challenge not called Hot in Here? Like, it is insane. Like, I'm so thankful now that Nelly has made it on and made it further, because I just want to hear TJ call him that over and over and over, because it was so unexpected and one of those little Easter eggs that made me so happy.
I'm so jealous that you and Molly watch this together. And Molly knows she has an open invitation to come on the podcast, but always refuses me. But it's those kind of takes, you know, that get Johnny and Molly as like must have guests on the show. Hot in Here, Nelly. Like, who puts that together? Who else puts
that
together?
We've got time. We've got time now. Also, I really want a gif of Jemmy going, oh, this is bad. This is so bad. I loved that. There was a lot of good commentary going on.
One last thing to just sort of eulogize Corey here for the season. I don't know that we're ever not going to have Corey. Like, what will it take to not have Corey back? I mean, what I'm still, I think, I'm not on the Corey hype train, but I still, for some reason, can't shake these expectations that he could be a good player. Then I look back at recent seasons, including, I mean, the last three episodes here. He has a bad social game, like terrible, terrible social game. And you can't really just like learn that, you know, like you have that or you don't. And then also, he's not like Hunter, who has a pretty bad social game, but is just such a beast that he doesn't really need the social game and can win out enough to get far and deserve to come back. And so I'm just sort of like, now we're going to see Corey. I know I told you you wouldn't have to talk about this, you already did, but we're going to see Corey next season if he comes back. Or the next season he comes back as Dad Corey, which we know was a great evolution for CT. But prediction, is Dad Corey actually, I mean, best thing to happen in his life as far as the kid goes, but is it one of the worst things to happen to his challenge persona? Because I feel like the last thing Corey has left is being this sort of like, who's his girlfriend? He's got the like suave moves. Someone leaves and then Kayla leaves. He hooks up with Camilla. Like, MTV touts him as like player of the year, whatever sexist bullshit. But that is what Corey's sort of persona is. And I know on Instagram he said, like, now I got to consider my daughter. She's gonna be watching the show. I want to set an example. Is this sort of like the last candle of Corey's being extinguished here?
I think having this kid will probably be great for him. I mean, even honestly, look at like Tony this season doesn't seem to be making waves. I think there's a certain level of focus and a different purpose when you have these people that are now going to be sharing this money with you, and you're not doing it just for yourself, but you have someone you love and care about that you've created that is now going to need that money. So I think maybe he would stay and spend the time that he otherwise would have been, you know, banging someone in the bathroom, maybe sleeping and getting rest or working out.
But is that his issue? So first of all, we can't say that Tony having kids refocused him, because he probably flamed out the most spectacularly when he had children. And, you know, people like do what you want to do. But my question, though, like, is working out while he's at, like, I don't know that he felt that distracted. Like, he came in with a relationship. Like, he wasn't really like on the sneak here or like drinking heavily, and he went out early, you know, like, is that really going to, my thinking is, from an entertainment perspective, Corey is entertaining, but from a game perspective, he doesn't have social game and he can't really back it up physically. So if we lose the entertainment aspect, like, do you think he'll be able to make it up enough in the actual challenges?
I at least want to see him try, you know, like, that's all I can say, is that I haven't been wildly impressed, and or at least my expectations have always not been met by him. But I would love to see him come back as Corey 3.0 or 2.0 or whatever version is Corey with a baby.
Your expectations have not been met in him, like of him. Get in line with like every woman on the challenge.
Yeah, shout out to Anissa.
Because that's the thing is like CT's dad evolution is so great because he was like a reckless monster with like, you know, he was like the gentle giant, but had like a lot of demons. And it seems like the kid did refocus him and he's got the physical skills to back him up and really come through. I'm just putting it out there. I hope it's not true. I want to see Dad Corey and see the evolution. I don't think it's going to have the same sort of impact on his character as it did CT.
I think also he's probably, even just from asserting that he didn't say bye to Alicia, like he's really embarrassed. I would be pretty embarrassed if I were him because like the first one out for the men to tie, or I guess second one if you count Rogan and Eddie. But like there's so much pride you can see on his face and hear in his voice, like, when he does these confessionals about revering the challenge. And so like he clearly like wants to be really good. And so I hope if he's coming back, like there's a level of, I don't know what you need to do, Corey, but just do it because people still will root for you. You know, I think that's what that's my message to Corey. If you're out there, Corey, just like, just know this.
I'm sure he's playing it through the baby monitor to Riker right now. I bet you didn't think we would do 15 minutes on this soccer shootout, but no. I'm glad we did. Let's dive on some grenades.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, Jersey Shore. This has opened the door. All these inclusions have opened the door to let my people onto the show. So I'm like praying we get Polly or probably just Polly on the show. He's the only one I can imagine.
So really quick about just a quick like side show here. Or have you been watching Floribama Shore?
Yes.
Because I think the Jersey Shore people are probably like, quote unquote, above this, right? Like they would be on maybe a Champs versus Stars and not just like a straight challenge season. But, you know, because like, what is it like? Couples Therapy is really like the highbrow show that gets the real stars. Are you hoping or thinking we're going to see anyone from Floribama Shore?
I hope not. Maybe Candace. I love her, but she doesn't look strong. Jeremiah is probably the only person who would do fairly well, and he's really hard for me to enjoy on TV. Everyone else is kind of like fat.
I heard you, and I was like, he couldn't have said that. Like that washed over me, and I was like, no, he said fat.
I mean, not like fat, but like in the way that like. You got to be really look at all the British people who came over. They are fit. Like they are insanely ripped. And that's not going to happen with Cody.
There's no room for a second coming of Big Easy on your challenge.
No, because I like people who are good at the game. Like I want to see people who are not just like debauchery and can back up some of because everybody's wildly confident. I like a Laurel. I like somebody who can really back it up. I like Emily from Champs versus Pros or Stars or whatever it was. Like I love watching her because she's like, you know, I just like that type of personality.
If we can get Amy on the challenge and into a challenge romance, IE or Allah, whatever it is, Devin and Big Easy, I'm here for it all day.
Oh my God!
That's what it'll take.
I've never
Camilla...
been in love. I've never seen a house so big. I've never went into a pool that didn't have, full of Kool-Aid. I love it here. Oh my God! Like she should be like the mascot. I don't know.
That's I'm in for that. I'm all in for that. But anyway, all right. So let's get to matter at hand. Thank you for indulging me on that, and thank you for your supreme accent. The way the grenades are going to work is, and we speculated last week, but here we have an answer, sort of. You give an advantage, it gives you an advantage and someone else a disadvantage when you win. And TJ makes a note that here are the three options for this week. So we're not clear if these are going to constantly rotate, if TJ just misspoke, which happens quite a bit, if like we're going to have some combination of it. But for right now, this week, Nelson gets to pick from cash, taking 5K from a player as money, time crunch, where you add time to someone's challenge time, put up or shut up, where you can join the Troika or send someone into the Inquisition. So what do you make of the grenades?
I like it. I think I like that there's so many moving parts to this season because there's just because first of all, I think Vendettas is a funny title for a show so far where everyone seems to be getting along very well. So this is just another way to force some drama in, you know, like nothing you if you use your grenade, which it's unclear to me if you can choose the option to just not use it, you know.
Interesting.
Like if you have to use it, that's great because it's gonna cause some serious waves because you're either robbing. It's funny when like stealing $5,000 from someone is the least offensive thing you could do.
So I like it. I hope that it evolves. I hope that these aren't just the three things we get week to week. I think some things we didn't consider last week because we didn't know is that you only get to do these things for the week that you are not up for elimination. So like Nelson has this option to join the Troika, but it's not as though it saves him and he would have to like have something against one of the females to like really make the most out of that. And then adding time to the challenge, what does that really do that sending someone into the Inquisition wouldn't just do? Like, why would you do that over the other options?
I guess it's that would help you make sure it's more of a guarantee that someone is not going to be in the Troika. I think some of these things, like in the first stages of the game, you should, in my opinion, do the cash steal for the first couple rounds. But like as the game progresses and those Troika spots are going to be more and more crucial because the people who can go into the Inquisition are less and there's more risk it could be you, like to anything you can do to screw over somebody who's wronged you or guarantee your voice is like an influential one is better. Like later in the game, I think time crunch would be more successfully used.
But even for the, in this case with Nelson, the women's elimination day, like, are we feeling like there are going to be that many co-ed grudges that this will really pay off?
Yes and no in that, like, you saw Natalie made it into the Troika this time. It's a mixed gendered Troika. So you want to like make sure that you are in good standing with both genders. It's not like you have a full pass if it's a female elimination week. Like you, I don't know, that's again, all the moving parts. You need to cover all of your bases. So you have to make sure you maintain strong relationships with the women.
The first thing I thought of when I watched this unfold is, okay, here's where the Leroy and Brittany stuff is going to happen. Brian and I debated last week, like, is there a time where Brittany or Leroy would use the grenade on each other? Like, is that really their main enemy? But when you're forced to use it on someone co-ed, I could see Leroy. I mean, right now, Brittany, at the time, Brittany was the only female with money. Now, oh, yeah, still is. I was like, now Nelson has 5,000. That doesn't help anything. So, like, that might be where this pays off. I maintain what I said last week, that when that's the use of the grenade, it's not that successful of a moment. You know, like, I'm optimistic that as we move on, the grenades will become more and more powerful. Or even just as you're saying, like, they'll become, even if they're the same grenades, they'll be more consequential than this. But Caitlin Ash had an interesting question. So what are your thoughts about the people in the Troika being safe from the grenades? She, Caitlin, says, I think this is a misstep.
Yeah, I agree. So if you are in the previous round, because you have to, the timing of it all is what confused me. So like there was Kyle, Bananas, and Brad. So those three guys are exempt from Nelson using it. Is that how it works? Or if Natalie, Bananas, Devins win, they're exempt if Nelson used it. Like, which group of three are safe or exempt?
I think it's because he had to use it before the challenge, right? So I think it's the Troika that put you in is exempt from you using it on them.
Okay, that's what obviously makes the most sense. But I guess it'll again be really hard later on when the numbers dwindle if you only have like three options to use your grenade on, and if you have to use it, you're gonna really screw somebody over. Like, I think that the time crunch thing, or I don't know, like the time crunch one can really screw. If you want to make sure somebody goes into the ring as an elimination, like just give it to the worst person that you, or the person you assume will do the worst, and or like fully save yourself and throw yourself in the troika.
Yeah, I think that the time crunch is good. We have to see how like sort of consequential that can be if like somebody can really surmount that. But no, now that you're explaining it, I'm seeing the value more in the time crunch. Like, if you don't think you have the clout to like get somebody like bananas, let's say, in, if you're in the troika with two other people, that's like the best thing you can do to impact it more directly. I don't think they should be safe from the grenades. Like, I think especially with something like Vendettas, most likely somebody on the troika is going to have put their quote unquote vendetta into the ring. So, I mean, I know that Nelson was just in the bottom, but like the fact that Nelson can't burn his vendettas, I guess it's Tony, but Bananas, let's say, is close to that. Like, you should be able to fire right back. That should be something that Troika has to consider when they're putting you in, is, ooh, if I put them in, are they going to use the grenade on me out of these one to three people? Like, I almost think they're like really taking out some of the drama by protecting them.
Yeah, I mean, it is really putting the Troika 3 in a really like omnipotent position. Like, they are so powerful. Like, they get to choose who goes in, then they get that the Inquisition, they get to grill everybody, and then they're safe the next challenge. It is a lot of power. So I mean, but that does make it way more necessary to win. You know, I feel like the stakes get raised by this exemption. You know, like I would fight harder if I knew that, like, if I win this week, at least next week, if I don't win, I still will be safe from losing money or getting sent directly in, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It goes to something we discussed last week of just like, is there too much of an incentive to, as Banana talks about in the challenge, like, he doesn't want to be in the Troika. Like, is this adding something of like getting away from just floating in the middle and saying, okay, I want to go for the 25 grand and I want to go for being safe from the grenade. So you're right. That does sort of like incentivize better performance. I want to ask you a cultural question. This is serious.
I love culture.
Do you have your atlas or your, I don't know, things, any book that says anything about people across the pond? Are we supposed to believe, or does Nelson believe, that Kyle doesn't understand what a handshake means and that that's only like an American thing?
Well, according to my atlas, in London particularly, if you shake someone's hand, it means absolutely nothing. No, I don't know. I mean, Nelson is not known for his social game either. He's not necessarily the brightest. He's more so like a brute in the most, in the nicest way to say that. Like, that's why I think it would be more fun to have Corey back, because he like thinks a little bit more. But yeah, Nelson is pretty impressionable, and Kyle is stupidly charming. So I really think that it was a funny little scene, because Nelson was clearly mad and Kyle, I think, played him pretty well.
Yeah, I do, too. I think that was a good read, that Kyle could think he would get away with that. And I thought the irony of this was like Nelson telling someone they don't know how to politic was like one of the funniest things of the episode, because Nelson's on the bottom here. Kyle has made some good inroads, potentially with Bananas, potentially with Brad, like having been in the Troika together. Why are you like coming after him and shaming him? It's like just after the tribal council vote in Survivor, like you're supposed to come back and say like well played to everyone and get them later, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think if Kyle was to do this again, then the rest of the house would catch on to what he's up to. But I think he's totally going to get away scot-free with this.
And it was the perfect time, too, because he was like still trying to feel out which side he was going to be on. Now he's sort of determined that, and it's like going to be less of an issue moving forward.
Yeah, I love Kyle. I think, I mean, I'm a Jersey Shore fan, so I've seen a couple episodes, maybe like a, collectively a full season of Geordie Shore, and I hadn't seen him on it. This guy is fun to watch. You know, he's like pretty good at these games, like very interested in the playing the romantic game, and is kind of cheeky and clever in a way that like is very entertaining for me. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at me this like picture of Kyle from having gotten a hair transplant, and like what? I like looked into this, and it was like on MTV UK. Like he posted about it. It's not like shady, but yeah, he got a hair transplant and then a beard transplant. And do not look at the pictures, because you can't look at them the same in terms of like how gory and gross these pictures are. That it's just like, it's really affected my viewing. Hopefully, it'll have petered out by next week.
I'm just looking
don't Google. I hear
that.
You typing. Don't Google.
I'm doing it. Give me just a moment.
It's so gross. It's so gross. I'm trying to save you. Save yourselves.
I've seen worse.
Have you seen
worse? Wow. Oh my God. This isn't that bad. Oh wow. Oh, so much blood.
Yeah, go to the MTV like UK page, and those are the most graphic images.
I'm good with what I see.
All right, so just don't, you know, not so tough now.
Hey, but he's got great hair now. So I love a beard transplant. Why? 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 When I started getting facial hair, I carried around like a loose razor in my bag because I just like, hated having
it. Oh my God.
And I know I was like, God, I have a baby face. I gotta have it. And so I just always did. But like actively wanting a beard that badly that you would get a videotaped beard transplant. Wow. I think I like him even more now.
There you
I
go.
I don't know. This is great. but speaking of the Brits, my other favorite is like by and far Melissa. This girl, she's like beautiful, and her accent is so cute. And the next scene that we have is her jumping naked in the pool with Brittany, and then like putting the moves on Nicole. This is a budding romance I never saw coming.
Yeah, I think this was like Mel's first real showing. We didn't really have like a great understanding of the Brits on the female side. I think Mel is doing really good social play. I think she's like getting in close with Natalie, who's close with Bananas. And I was wondering, like when I went to pull the questions this week, I wasn't sure. I had a feeling we wouldn't get as many haters commenting like, oh, Mel's just using Nicole like we got about Natalie and Bananas. And I think part of it is because Mel owns it. Like when you do and you tell the camera, like I'm playing the game and like she's cute and I'm flirty and I'll flirt with a brick wall. Like it makes her, it's almost weird because it like makes her easier to like in the sense that maybe she's doing something snaky by leading Nicole on. But she's owning it. She's including us in on it. It's good gameplay. Whereas people who don't believe Natalie's is genuine aren't as interested.
Yeah, I think Melissa is letting us in confessionals what's going on. And it makes her all the more charming because for your first showing to kind of get your finger on the pulse of like, okay, I need to be in with her because she's in with him. And I'll just be like a cute and naked in the pool, and so they'll think that it's like just fun and flirty, but it's like with intention in a way that I think is like kind of brilliant to pick up so quickly on like how you're supposed to do it. And like, oh, her accent when she says like instead of cuddle buddy she goes cuddle buddy, like, and she's I'm from Liverpool, and like I love her. She's like she could say anything to me and be like, oh yeah, sure, take my money, do you want my car, like I love her.
Do we think Nicole was the right, like if she's looking to flirt Manson up with somebody to get power, do you think she has the right read on the game to think that Nicole is somebody who has power?
I don't really know if Nicole is exactly the right person because she's fairly new to the show. I mean, she did do extremely well when she's been on the show, but it's not like she's got this long-standing history with anybody involved. I think she's in good standing and people like her, but I don't know if she's the number one pick, but that said, I don't know if there's somebody else that Melissa could have cuddled up to or coodled up to that would be a better choice, you know? I'm trying to think if this having the same gender would benefit you more than having it across both gender fields? Can you think of someone that would be a better choice to have in your corner as like both a romantic ally and a game ally?
Not really when you think about it from the perspective of like, okay, she has Nicole, and if this continues, she sort of has Natalie, who's in with Banana, so that hopefully will keep her like on good terms with that side of the house. You're thinking like maybe Leroy, like someone in Banana's camp, maybe. But I think this is fine in terms of if she's looking at which woman is most likely to be able to perform to get into the Troika. But I don't know that she would have made the same decision had she been like a fan of the show.
I don't know. I think Nicole is a pretty fine choice because like she's gonna protect her. Just like we saw Natalie like really put her foot down in the Troika, like, no, these are my people, I'm not gonna vote, like I won't vote that way. I think Nicole in particular would, she's pretty intense, and she seems not like stubborn, but like she would really have your back hardcore. Like she gets blinded by love, we saw that intensely with both like the way she pursued Kara and then the way she also had a relationship with Laurel, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Are you shipping Kaylee and Nelson?
I don't care for it. I mean, they're fine, right?
I mean, it's just like, that's not a strategic move, because when the person who's like in the bottom, you're going to get sort of the Alicia treatment, but okay.
No, I mean, I don't really think either heads or tails of it. I think looking at the cast, I mean, it's kind of slim picking for Kaylee, because she's already, wasn't she somewhat involved romantically with Joss on their chat show?
Yes.
And so like that's a road she's been down. And then like not Shane, probably not Corey, or like there's a bunch of people that are already kind of coupled up that like you gotta keep your eye on whatever's available.
Just gotta look past the beard.
I like her too. I like how straightforward she is, you know. She's not beating around the bush, and she's not like teasing anybody with information. She's like feeling something, saying it right away, like very upfront and candid, and I think that's a really necessary thing to be on reality TV, and I like her.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm that in on Kaylee yet, but there's time. I'm not out on her. I am fully in on a Mel and Nat spinoff.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I think Natalie is great TV. I didn't watch whatever Big Brother she was on, but like I'm a big fan of whatever she's doing on this show. She's getting involved with the right people. She's strong in the challenges. She's good at the game. Like she has like a romance going on. This, if you had a checklist of what is like necessary for, if not great, good gameplay, but good TV, she's really hitting all the boxes.
Yeah, people are going to feel how they feel about this, but I definitely think Natalie is much better suited for the challenge. I think she was like, I actually don't know how the general population feels about her in Big Brother. I thought she was like fine. She was likable in this way, but she is so much better suited to like actually have genuine friendships with the people who are on the challenge as opposed to the people who are on her season Big Brother, that we're really able to like see her being her likable-ish self. I know people don't love her, but whatever, her likable self. And it's being validated. Like the fact that people keep doing confessionals about how amazing she is working on me. Like it's making me feel like, oh, okay, like I'm allowed to like this person because I'm seeing it on TV and they're telling me this is how it really is in the house.
I'm not getting the vibe that everybody really likes her, you know, like you have
at this point, not when we get to the her in power, but like by this point,
at this point, yeah, when she's like talking with Alicia as Alicia's straightening her weave. I loved that. I mean, I'm pretty ignorant into the world of the weave. So this is really, it's been an enlightening episode for me. So
that was classic.
If I ever get a hair transplant and I really want to extend the hair, I know how to take care of it now. So a big thank you to Alicia. I also think Alicia is probably more well liked than the show is letting us know, because she's all these pictures with all the girls in the house and they're all buddies like Marie and Cam and Kaylee, and but suddenly on the show like we have got Johnny saying like nobody likes her, she's next, like the target is on her back. But like I genuinely wonder if people are that anti-Alicia or Alicia, as she's being portrayed, because like social media makes it seem like she's kind of fine with everybody.
Yeah, well, Cam and her have that bad blood, and I think it didn't help her to come in with Corey. And I think that's really the only thing that's hurting her. I do have to walk back, and we'll get to it when we talk about the deliberations, but I definitely didn't think, I thought Alicia was like flattering herself to think that she would be next. I walked that back. It does seem like that was just sort of like the easy decision to keep that moving. But you're, I don't know that it's personal. I just kind of think it's like, oh, she's not that strong a competitor. And like, she was on the wrong side of the house.
Yeah, the cards are not in her favor.
Right.
But I can't tell if it's, again, personal. Right. But moving on.
Yeah, let's talk about the challenge, hashtag vendettas, operating as individuals, two heats, two for men, two heats for women, 30 feet in the air. A lot of people had questions about how this challenge worked. I think it just looked crazier than it was. There was a hashtag-shaped platform, 30 feet in the air, and you basically had, like, I don't know, is it six people each, whatever. You had to put your hashtag-shaped piece on each pole and then get back to your pole. And then the fastest times split $25,000. And Melissa, before we even get to being able to talk about the challenge, gets informed that she is not allowed to compete because of the water, is DQ'd and will be going straight to the Troika. The great Haley Strong wants us to know that she was kind of annoyed that Melissa was DQ'd before even starting the challenge, because it was a, quote, water challenge. And then only one person even fell in. I'm no medical professional, but like, even if she did fall, couldn't the medical team fix it up real quick? Four question marks.
Yeah, you know who was really pissed about that? Molly Block. She was incensed over the fact that Melissa was having to forfeit her spot. Because for those who are just listening to the podcast, didn't see it, Melissa and Natalie are practicing some cheerleading moves, and somehow Melissa does a backbend that involves her kicking a hanging light bulb or a hanging lamp fixture and just shattering and then dripping blood around the house. So she's there with her foot, and like, yeah, nobody's going into the water except for Alicia. And it was kind of trash to me that she wasn't even given the chance to compete, because I think someone like her in particular, the way that we've seen her agility and her size, this would have been a really good challenge for her.
Yeah, I mean, we did get a great line from her when she does the back walk over into the light bulb, and she's like, oh, it's just a scrape. It was a very, like, Monty Python-esque, like, 'tis but a flesh wound.
It's just like a little blood. Like, we're fine. We're going to be okay. Like, just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, all I could think about was, like, you're telling me Hunter's doctor was chill with letting him, like, decide whether or not he wanted to, like, use a crowbar and a giant box and haul shit, but, like, she definitely can't even get her wrap wet. But it is what it is. She's going into
it. It is her fault. Like, no offense. Like, I love her, but like, it was her fault, you know? Like, I know you're bored in this house, but like, there's one thing that your intention is to like win a challenge. And so, like, the night before a challenge to be kicking glass is not necessarily the best move.
And then we, again, before we get to the challenge, Nelson has to pick a grenade. We talked about this, but Clayton O'Dell wanted to know if he made the right decision. My question to you, you talked about cash being the right way to go here. Did taking it from Joss, was that the right move?
Yeah, if you have to use this grenade or whatever, you definitely want to take the money from the person who has the most, because then Joss still now has $20,000, which is the most that anybody has. So you're going to ruffle some feathers, but like, at least ruffle the least amount. And with a challenge like this, it's unclear what it's going to take to be good at it. So to give time to somebody would probably be pretty pointless, unless you really wanted to piss them off. And it's a female Troika day or a female elimination, so like, there's less impetus to really need to be in the Troika.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking here, and I thought this was like the easy pick in terms of like, you have the most, so that's why I'm picking you, nothing personal. But do you want to pick somebody who has the least chance to go into the ring, who has the least chance to fuck you back in the, to screw you back in the ring? Like, is Joss likely to go into the Troika because he's a newbie? Is someone like, or into the ring, is someone like Brittany less of a threat to win an elimination and get a grenade, or she's less likely to be in the troika and send you in, although she's probably most likely to be vindictive about it. So I think there were other considerations. I think Joss was just sort of like the easy throwaway. And someone like Nelson, I mean, when he was like, I have to think long term, I don't know that I really agree with that, because when you're so far clearly on the bottom, I feel like you should just be sustaining week to week and not necessarily focusing on your end game when you have very slim chance of getting there. But in this case, like, this was sort of the easiest path of least resistance.
Yeah, if you're thinking long term, probably don't steal from the person who seems to have a really good chance making it very far in the game. Like, Joss is somebody I think who's gonna do really well.
Yeah, no. So maybe this did turn out to be a short term decision, but Nelson was never really a strategist anyway. But he does have the satisfaction of knowing that TJ would have done the same thing. So that's really all there is to say about it.
That's all he wants. That's all he wants. But okay, what did you think of the actual challenge?
I thought the challenge was fine. I liked that we see Shane, Kyle, and like Kara sort of nervous about the heights, because when you're watching, I mean, this might not affect the people new to the challenge, or maybe it does, but it's easy to get sort of desensitized to being 30 feet in the air on a little platform above water. So there was like a nice reminder of the intensity there. I think it should have been more of a battle royale, pushing people off should have been encouraged.
Yeah, were you not supposed to do that or allowed to do that? Because, like, there was clearly space between all those little hashtag marks to really shove somebody and get your competition out. And some people were moving so slowly and had to wait for others to move that, like, you could see how well other people were doing. So if I saw Bananas had, like, three and I had three, I'd give them a shove.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, like, when you're... It's not so clear. I think it was clearly within the rules, but it's not necessary to the challenge. You don't want to be the Nicole who's being that person this early on. And especially with the women, like, drawing clear lines that haven't really been drawn yet. Whereas I think she was more just kind of like pushing whoever off. but it definitely didn't sit well with Alicia and even the rest of the cast. Yeah, so that was disappointing. I also thought there should have been an element of, like, defending your poll. Like, if you'd rather go back to your poll, like, your poll and take some of the hashtags off, you can do that, you know? So you have to decide between the time function of running to everyone else's hashtags, but then also defending your own and not letting people win that way. Like, I thought there could have been more than just sort of, like, a little ring around the rosy of putting the hashtags on the polls.
Yeah, it did feel a bit silly. In a fun way. Like, it was, I wanted it to be a little more intense than it was. And I mean, there was Mario sound effects that were happening. It was like, there was a laughable element to it. Some people did really well. Some people did really crappy. Like Shane, oh my God, he was terrible. Was it Kyle who was also pretty bad? Like, basically trapped still. Veronica was not moved. Well, she didn't do well. but like, those are the three that I was like, oh man, not very good. But like Victor, this is a challenge I think that was really made for somebody like Victor, who's not like as like beefy but he is so quick. So it looked like he finished that so fast. But I mean, it's all relative to your heat, which is always a bummer to me. Like, I want to see everybody go at once, or at least see their times, so I know what the time to beat is.
Yeah, no, that's true. It just kind of goes based on the feeling. I mean, this is sort of like our answer to, will there be challenges that are sort of gender neutral? Kudos to Natalie for getting into the Troika. Kudos to Victor for, I mean, I talked last week about how these challenges are big boy challenges, not big brother challenges. And the fact that he didn't hesitate with this kind of height and just kind of went for it enough to win his heat, good on him. We also got like a lot of people doing better this week, like you said, than last week. Nelson coming in second, Zach coming in third for their heat, and then Devin winning his heat for the men.
I was proud of Devin. I don't know him personally, but like, I wanted to see somebody like him do well, because he does talk a big game. He's a talker. Like, we see him scheming in the kitchen earlier with the sunglasses on. Like, he is smart enough to play, but like it's always a question of his athletic ability. So to see him do really well and win is like beating bananas is cool. Like I was happy about that.
You know, I totally agree with that. I'm rooting for Devin here. But you just said you didn't watch Big Brother. Have you ever seen Big Brother? You just didn't watch Natalie's season?
I watched the most recent season in full, and I think that's enough for me.
Okay, so you're...
I'll probably watch it, actually, the new one that Bananas is on.
Unconfirmed.
He's not on it?
Well, it's just not confirmed.
Okay, well, if he's on it, I will watch it.
So, all right, perfect. I'm so happy here, Johnny, for many reasons. But one, because I want to ask you this. You're not a fan of Big Brother. You've seen it, but you don't like it, and you're not a super fan. Is it possible to not know that on Big Brother, you also have to win to stay safe? Was that something that you agreed with, Natalie's statement? Did you pick up on this?
That you don't have to win, because she said, like, you don't necessarily need to win the challenge in order to be safe.
What she said was that the challenge is different from Big Brother, because in the challenge, you have to win to stay safe.
I think it's to guarantee safety, you have to win here. But, like, it's in Big Brother, it seems like you have to make sure one of your alliance members wins. I mean, I watched a season where people kept basically just handing challenges to Paul. So I don't really understand, like, if the blind trust element of Big Brother, you know, this one, there's a little bit more nuance, at least from the season that I watched. You do need to win, especially as the game progresses. Like, winning is your guarantee. It's like, you look at Survivor, like a Brad Culpepper or a Mike Holloway, like they would have been out if they didn't win.
All right,
you know?
Swing and a miss here for me, Johnny, because the answer to this was the stupidest comment in the world. In Big Brother, you absolutely have to win to stay safe in the same exact way. There's a head of household competition. You win that, you're safe and you have control, similar to the Troika. If your alliance wins get into the Troika. I mean, maybe you're being very generous to her. And maybe I should be more generous. Maybe it's possible that she's saying, like, even if Bananas was in the Troika and she wasn't, that she still could go in because there are two other people. So winning is the only guarantee. Same with Big Brother HOH. Like, I was just like, Natalie from Big Brother right here on the challenge.
But in Big Brother, you can, if you win HOH, you can't win it the next time, the next competition, right? Like, you win it that one week and the next week it has to go to somebody else. Anyone but you. So in this one, though, like, you can win repeatedly week after week after week.
Sure, but that's not at all what she's saying. She's like, I have to win to stay safe, which is exactly, you can hear that quote on Big Brother. I'll get off this, but this was ridiculous. And I thought that was just gonna be a funny laugh, and it wasn't. But, you know, you can't always have what you want.
Yeah, well, the big takeaways were that some people were very afraid, and if you had agility and you weren't afraid, you probably were going to win this challenge. I mean, Sylvia came through in a way that I wasn't expecting, and that was a highlight, I guess. And the Nicole push was the pettiest highlight. I loved it. I was laughing so hard and so shocked that she had, like, the guts to shove Alicia off. Otherwise, it was a pretty cut and dry challenge for me.
Yeah, definitely agree with those highlights. But Jeremy Barton wants to know from you, can you explain why the guys were scared of performing badly when it was a girls' elimination day? A lot of the conversation, like, Bananas was like, well, now I see Devin's trying. I don't want to be in the Troika, but now I have to try because Devin's my rival. Why were so many of the men talking like they could be in danger?
Well, don't they win money if they're the fastest man or fastest woman? Is that wrong?
No, it's right. But a lot of the conversation was like Bananas, for example, like, I don't want to be in the Troika, but I see Devin's doing well. So he's my vendetta. So now I have to do well so that I can also have power. Is that like a purely Natalie thing? A lot of just like the sound bites were weird last week and this week. It wasn't like it was as though the genders not up for elimination, like, were acting like they could somehow be in danger if their vendetta was in the Troika.
Yeah, I don't understand the danger aspect, but I feel maybe it has to have something to do partially with ego. It has to do with the money. It has to do with like your opinion, your voice having influence and power towards the beginning of the game can really set the tone for how it's going to progress. So I don't think that every single person's like, if I don't get the girl I want out of here this episode, then, like, I'm not going to win. But I think there is this like looming threat of, I don't know, being viewed as weak or being viewed as lesser and being viewed as not influential.
Yeah, I agree with the ego thing. I didn't believe for a second that Bananas was only trying because Devin tried. I think he probably shouldn't have been in the troika this round. Because I think while it can set the tone, it can also put a target on your back that you don't need. Now, does Bananas, could he have a bigger target? No. So there's probably less of a threat there. But I think that's like revisionist history from Bananas in the confessional. Like, oh yeah, like I knew the right thing to do was to not win. But when Devin was going to win, then I couldn't possibly risk my, you know, my standing in the house or my Natalie in the house. But the ultimate troika, first women to enter the troika, we have Devin, Natalie, and then Bananas. Natalie beating Bananas, from my understanding of how TJ delivered the results.
Yeah, she killed it. She was so fast. So fast. I was so impressed.
Katie Beth Austin, before we chat about the deliberations here, the many deliberations, wants to know, should this challenge really count as showing you're a strong competitor? It's basically running back and forth. The only hindrance is if you're afraid of heights, since no one pushed off anyone besides Nicole, and it wasn't even necessary. Sorry, Sylvia.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I don't know. I think it was looking at the platform when it went up, especially in the further rounds, it looked wet and it looked like it was made of like a gym mat material. So that's going to be pretty slippery. So you need to be like, I think a low center of gravity is going to be fast, like good. If you have agility, it's going to be good. You also have to be conscious of where other people are so you can protect your own space and have your wherewithal. Because if you're going the same direction as somebody else, there's not really that much room for them to go around you. So if you are conscious of the space around you and where to like, ballsy enough to maybe like jump over a corner instead of doing the full 90 degree walk. I don't know. I think there's a little more athleticism to it. And then that question gives it credit.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the temptation when the people who we don't traditionally think of as strong competitors do well to kind of like point to the challenge. At the end of the day, you put me 30 feet up in the air, I'm not running around with hashtags. Like, I think that's a big deal. I think this is sort of a quintessential doing something in the air. Is it as hard as like swinging from bell that doesn't ring to bell that doesn't ring? No, but it's being on a narrow beam, having to do things high in the air. That's a challenge competition. So not going to take anything away from the people who performed well.
For sure. And so Natalie performed really well, which got her in the troika. But now she kind of does this mini politicking around the house. What did you make of her conversations with Veronica and then with Kayla? And why do you think she said she chose Veronica because she's the strongest vet? And that is interesting to me.
Yeah, I don't know how much of this was Natalie and how much of this was Bananas wanting to, you know, have his will done, because he first says he thinks Alicia's the move that would make no waves, and Natalie is resistant because the girls have her back. So I think Bananas is sort of pulling the strings on this little parade of, you know, the Natalie parade of like, well, go to the vets and they're going to obviously tell you that they have your back and then my will be done. I think this is purely the difference between somebody who comes on the show from the real world and or are you the one who knows the show? Granted, a lot of people come from those shows and don't know the show, so I'm not saying that. But to think, yeah, that Veronica is somehow, I mean, I think she has pull in terms of her alliance and the social game. And I actually wasn't mad at Natalie's approach with Veronica, saying, like, you have a lot of pull, a lot of people respect you, I want to know where I stand. And I think Veronica very clearly tells her, you're not with me, except that in the Big Brother game and Natalie's game, a lot of Big Brother is like short term deals. If you, yeah, I'm with, yeah, HOH. You protect me, I'll protect you. Like, that is a Big Brother conversation. That's fine. That doesn't work as well in the challenge. And I don't think Natalie's experienced enough that when she hears, oh, you intimidate me, but we're cool, to know that that means we are not cool and I would put you in a second.
Yeah, it's like, see you next week in the troika or the ring. Like, it's risky. What did you make of Veronica's confessional outfit? Whatever that was.
Oh, I missed it. What was it? Give me the full download.
So it looked like, have you ever seen the John Waters movie Female Trouble? Edith Massey plays Aunt Ida, and she wears this like skin tight leather bodysuit, but the whole the middle part is like laced together. So Veronica was like, I don't know. Motley and I were both just like turning our heads. It was a bold choice, and I hope to wear it, or you to wear it, for the next podcast. It was like it was nuts. It was like Catwoman, Dominatrix. I don't know. Would love to hear everyone's thoughts in the comments.
Oh, that's my that's my podcast outfit. It's just not a video.
Oh, that's true. That's why we're only doing audio. But then she goes to Kayla, which Kayla is, because I don't know, Kayla to me still feels super fresh on the show, and not like, she looks like she's isolated from the house in previous seasons. So it's trickier for me to justify why she'd even go to her.
Yeah, I mean, this, and we don't know that she didn't go to all the women in the house, right? And we just saw these two failures. I think Kayla's probably a decent person to go to when you're thinking, like, I don't really know who's in her room. I don't have, you know, renderings of the house with who sleeps on which twin bunk bed. But maybe these are just, like, the women she was going to put in, and Banana's sort of like, well, go talk to them and feel it out. Because, like, you see Kara and Natalie having somewhat of a conversation, somewhat of a relationship, so maybe she's off the table for that reason. Kayla, this is where I think she takes a big ol', like, swing and a miss here again. Just going right in to keep me off your radar, I'll keep you off mine. I don't know if she got cocky from how her conversation with Veronica went. I think if Natalie wants to make deals here, which I think is fine, she needs to sort of be like, I'm new, I'm putty in your hand. What do you think I should do? I want to work with you. You're so amazing. Even if she doesn't really think that, because to come to somebody on the challenge and threaten them, this is not, again, the Big Brother game where people are willing to suck up to you until they have power. This is like, you still have to some reason grease these women's wheels because their egos are just like unimaginably large.
Yeah, and Kayla seemed to see right through it, you know, like she kind of seemed like she was taken aback by this person who, from what I've seen on the show the first couple episodes, they're not shown together a lot. So it seemed like, so because the second it was over, Kayla goes right to Marie and was like, this was weird, I don't buy it, she's fake. And I think like she had the correct read on the situation.
And it is interesting, though, that Natalie mostly goes to bat for Veronica in the actual deliberation rather than Kayla. So maybe our instinct that the Veronica conversation went better from Natalie's perspective is what happened.
It seemed like a success to me. Like, it was mellow, but like kind of shallow. But I think for the time being, it was like a good way to pacify. Whereas Kayla, it was like pretty clear, because she was basically, it sounded like she had a script. Very disingenuous.
Yeah, no, totally agree. So when Cam, Alicia, and Kaylee come out as the 3-8 nominees here, a lot of people thought, well, like, Lisa Muniz is the one I pulled from Twitter, who said Alicia, Cam, and Kaylee are all rookies. Why are they surprised? Fans weren't. I was surprised. I thought this was a pretty strange group of three to come out of this troika.
Yeah, the first thing I turned to Molly and I was just like, racist. Like, that was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, all three are women of color. And it was, I think Kaylee is. I have no clue, but like, it was just really interesting to me. I mean, I get that they're all rookies, but come on, there's that trope in reality TV where, you know, there's usually like the minority woman is the first person or in the first people to go. And I was like, this is just like too expected.
Can't argue with you on the majority of reality shows. I will point out that Natalie is also a woman of color, but I totally understand. She's like originally from Venezuela. I believe she identifies as a person of color, woman of color. But still, your point is well taken.
I don't think there was not much of another option. So I wasn't like shocked, which is why my mind went to that instead of like actual outrage. It was, it was clear Alicia was going to go in the whole time. And the other two, for me, feel kind of just like filler. But it's like, okay, so for me, if I was to go into the Troika, I mean, this would be taking a big risk, but like, if you were part of my alliance and I would say, hey, Allie, like, I want to bring you to the table as kind of a burn vote. So that way you and, like, let's say Max or whoever I bring to the table also is part of our alliance. Then, like, if Alicia's there, it's a pretty much a guarantee that, like, she's going to go into the ring. Because if it's me and Bananas and I'm Natalie, like, whoever the two of us, it's up to them to decide who goes in.
Which is a very Big Brother strategy. That is like putting pawns up. But as any Big Brother watchers may know and might be shouting at me, pawns go home.
Like Leroy. Leroy went home last season.
So I do think that's a very good read on this situation and is going to be what starts to happen, especially when you see people having to turn against their alliance to start saying like, all right, I want to stack the deck. I want to stack the argument so that you're here and you can argue with me at the Inquisition against X person. But like then someone like Cam is never going to be okay being the pawn, right? Like she's not going to want her name in your mouth. Like that's never going to change.
She's amazing. Yeah. I love her. She came in looking like Sansa Stark in that big ass wolf coat. And she just was like ready to be the queen of the North. And I was so into her. She's flipped the Inquisition on them and I loved it.
Yeah, I thought Cam was good, if not a little bit strong and threatening, but I think it was fine of sort of like, look, if you put me in and I come back, I'm not going to forget, which is fine. I think you already know you made an enemy by putting her up and that's like an okay place to kind of still have a grudge. I think Alicia showed herself as being as bad as Corey, like says pitching to Bananas, Natalie, who's in Bananas' pocket, and Devin. Aren't you tired of seeing the same person constantly winning? You don't make that argument to Bananas. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, the person who wins probably the most is not the person you should say, like, maybe let me have the try this time. It's my turn.
Yeah, that was a big F up. Before we get to the moment I've been waiting for on social media, Ryan Deschamps says, how unfortunate was the Troika decision? And I want to know from you, like, was being on the Troika actually... Are you in the Troika or are you on the Troika?
You are in the Troika.
Okay. All right. So if you are one-third Troika, are you... Like, was that Natalie's worst move of the game? Or I guess it was, like, her only bet. Like, do you think it's a net positive or net negative or net neutral for Natalie having been on the Troika, in the Troika?
I almost want to say net positive because it shows she's a force and it kind of cemented her position in the Bananas alliance, which is the more dominant alliance in the house from what I see, because it looks like he's kind of roped in Kyle, he's roped in her, and together, like, he's got Leroy, he's got his Tony, those people. So, like, this seems to be stacking up the Devin's team of more misfits a la Wes. Versus Natalie and Bananas. So I think it was like a bold move. It puts a target on her back, which is why I almost want to say net neutral, but more net positive than that. Like she's kind of a shady, if not badass.
So I am tempted to say it's negative with the exception of the fact that I think she is covered by her relationship with Bananas. So good positioning for her in that respect. I think she's shielded from any fallout from this. But if you take Bananas out of the equation, I think her decisions here were foolish because, first of all, I would have wanted to play this like, oh, I'm so weak-minded, like, tell me what to do. I already said, like, oh, it's not my fault. Bananas and Devin are such strong players, and I'm new, and I just wanted to see. And, like, let people think you're dumb until you beat them in the final. Like, I think that would have been her best move. I think to take ownership of having voted in Cam when she would have had your back makes no sense to me. I think the rookie girls are most likely to feel like they owe you, and the veteran women, or I shouldn't say girls, the rookie women and the veteran women are more likely to say, thanks for not taking the shot. Now I'm going to take the shot at you and I'm not going to feel one bit bad about it. So if you're going to actually try to do the tit for tat, Big Brother week to week deals, that's most likely to work on the rookie women. And finally, my feeling was like protect your crew because these are the women who have been performing. Like Cam has been performing.
Yeah, she's crushing it.
More so than Veronica. So why are you going to piss Cam off when Veronica is so unlikely to be in the Troika anytime soon?
So would you have replaced Cam with Veronica?
I think putting Cam in was, like, bar none, a huge mistake, especially, I mean, maybe Natalie doesn't realize how much she thinks Cam has her back, but I would have put, or without doing the spin of you, like, look, we both want Alicia gone. I want you at the table because you're a strong, like, woman who can advocate against Alicia. Like, that is what she should have done, like you said. I would have put Veronica at the table. I mean, look, Jemmy and Veronica and Marie talk a big game and get pissed and whatever, and have proven that they do have the social maneuvers to get things done. But there's no random draw anymore of, like, who can get power. Like, Jemmy can't put you in unless she's on the troika or she wins an elimination with the grenade. So I just think that's a lot less threatening. And no love lost between Jemmy and Veronica and Bananas. It's not like they're, like, this in lockstep alliance.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, yeah, maybe just throw one of these people you... Because I feel like Natalie equally doesn't know, or she equally knows everybody there. You know, like, they all just met. So it's kind of a clean slate for her with all these people. So, like, why not? Yeah, throwing Cam in is risky, but I don't know. If you want to cement yourself further with the veterans, if it, to me, felt like a fine move, even if it pissed Cam off.
And then I also have always hoped, and look, we saw Tori's success last season, and it was because she kind of shirked the rookies and aligned with the veterans. And I'm always waiting to see the veteran, the rookie who wants to change the narrative that it's just okay that the rookies go in first and, like, take a shot at one of the weaker veterans and just say, because you don't want to just get thrown in as one of three rookies because you're a rookie. Like, I've never really understood that, but it's always like the one rookie who's able to assimilate into the veterans camp, like, does not even recall that they are also a rookie and has no problem putting in three rookies.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm excited to see what happens next week. I mean, for me, it feels like a very clear Alicia getting put into the ring. Like, I don't really see any other outcome.
I agree, and I think that'll be an interesting battle, interesting matchup between two women who we haven't really seen, like, what they can do, and we'll see what happens in the ring. Now, we've been on for a really long time. Do you have time to get into my social media nonsense?
For you, of course.
Thank God. I mean, otherwise I would have just said, all right, bye, Johnny, and it would have just been me for the next, like, 20 minutes.
No, let's do it.
I think the clip of Marie going after Brad's kids in the next time on preview really sets us up for what I want to start with. But first, I want to thank our 5-star reviewers from last week, Alex, Whit K, Ewag, Angie's Camp, and One Surfer Carl. Always makes my day to see that you guys are enjoying the show, still listening. We appreciate it. If you want to join our family of reviewers, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can also subscribe to get all of our content week to week. Okay, I am going to do something a little differently this week. I have, like, three or four stories that are not just tweets, and I'm actually going to strike most of the tweets because we have a lot of juice to squeeze out of these, like, oranges here. But,
hell yeah.
So thank you to the digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth, who's always scouting for the drama with me. Really helps me out. Appreciate it. Johnny, you have come in with your own little bit of your own tweet that you want to share from your boy.
Well, speaking, we talked about Hunter earlier and it, like, the reverence that Nelson and Corey and that little trio have for the show. And, like, knowing how embarrassing that elimination was, to read this tweet from Hunter was really funny to me, because he was like, if the challenge MTV isn't the most captivating thing on TV, I don't know what is. So dramatic, so compelling, so intense. Watching my boys go at it was worse than actually going against them. Like, what did he watch something that we didn't watch? Like, I just love it. It just made me, I think he's such a funny character. And I also really just wanted to do a country accent.
No, I love it. Thank you for bringing that. I like kind of forgot about Hunter before we talked about him. So I'm happy he's still at least on the social media game strong.
So strong, supportive, no matter how many soccer balls just slowly roll into the dirt.
Okay, so last week we talked about Brad and Tori. This week we have even more to say about Brad and Tori. So, and everything, honestly, this is one of the first times where the collecting the tweets related to all of these stories was just such a shit show that everyone's just gonna have to bear with me. We're in this together. on the Good Ship drama. So Tori said, and she had done an interview, I think, with Us Weekly, and I don't know if they released a second one, but I did not recall this from the first interview. Tori Hall tweeted, "People ask me about Brad Brittany all the time. This is more on my thoughts from my chat with Us Weekly." Wow. Couldn't wait for this. Okay. So there is a quote. "I was fine with him going back and doing the show, but it was such a big part of our life. But never did I believe that our story was that replaceable to him. That was the hardest part." So then I went deep into this article, and they asked her like what they thought of the moment where the women were saying Brittany's a better match for Brad than Tori. And she says, "I agree. Isn't that sad?" She told Us Weekly in an exclusive interview, "Here's the deal. They just have more in common. He's a fun guy. We met really young. I was 20 years old when I met him, and I grew up with him. I gave him a decade of my life, a third of my life. When we grew up and I realized the things that we wanted in life, we agree on nothing. The only thing we agree on is our two kids, which is sad. He probably is a better fit for her." Ugh. I could just die. All right.
Why? I think she's handling that so... That's such a mature, rational response.
Oh, yeah, no, I meant like it's heartbreaking. Like, I could die for her.
I know,
like,
I know. I mean, she's only 31. Like, there's so much time for her to find somebody who she does have things in common with, and she seems really fucking funny and handling it in such stride. Like, I was reading her tweets and I was like, damn, this woman is like not letting it get to her in a way that like a lot of people would be distraught if like their ex-husband was hooking up with a 26-year-old who's naked every episode.
So then they asked her if they've met, and she said that she's met her briefly, but they haven't met the kids, and her and Brad agree, and like until it's more stable and secure, like they're not going to meet. Then she says they currently live about 45 minutes apart from one another, them being Tori and Brad. And then she adds, "The boys are with me 99% of the time," which I thought was like, jab, jab. But she deserves a jab.
Hell yeah.
And then she says, to elaborate on the quote earlier, that when he was leaving, he said that he was going to focus on winning the game and playing the game. He's not there to hook up and do that kind of thing. And then that's when she says she was fine going on, but she didn't believe that her story was replaceable to him. That was the hardest part when he was filming and the pictures leaked and all of that. And I saw that. I was like, wow, I was just another step in the road, which is healing and hurtful at the same time. To me, that was our story, and it was very replaceable to him. But you know that's not the end of the story.
Oh, no, never is.
Because Brad's got a reply.
Of course. What do you have to say, Brad?
So somebody first tweeted, "Brad, I'm glad you're doing you. Don't let unnecessary drama bring you down. Besides, you didn't want the divorce. Hold your head high." He retweets that and says, "Thank you. And I know I'm far from perfect." Wink emoji. And then retweeted the article and said, "There is, quote, another side to this story, semicolon, buried deep in the pain of Tori's choice to dissolve our family. I'm surprised she's acting surprised." And then he said, "I'm trying my best. She has been posting dishonest statements about me for over a year, and now Us Weekly. I'm considering a response story. Tori chose to dissolve our family. She has been posting immature, dishonest statements about me online for the past year. I really tried quiet." Tori tweeted, first of all, and this comes from Megan Elizabeth, who said, "Clearly the rumors about Brad and Kellyanne were false, because Tori retweeted Kellyanne," which would have been shocking for her to do that if that's what dissolved their marriage, "as rumored. Kellyanne said, 'When I finally understood, I stopped crying over you and started crying for you.'" Tori retweeted that and then said, "I need a nap. I love naps. The end." Disclaimer. Shocking, but this tweet is in no way, shape, or form directed at any of my exes. Genuinely just need a nap.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard, I mean, to both like be going through what they're going through, and then so publicly, like, everything that she says or anything that he does is going to now be like associated with, like, maybe it's because of the kids or the divorce or whatever. And it's like, no, sometimes I'm just tired.
Yeah, and this is like definitely devastating, and I feel for Tori and Brad in this situation. But wow, like, I did not expect to see this unfold on my Twitter. Tori also, in happier news, somebody or the Challenge MTV tweeted at her, "Tori, you'd be awesome on a Champs versus Pros Star season. You're a two-time champion." She wrote, I'm in at Challenge MTV. Make it happen. 2018, I'm saying yes and playing for me for once and a charity. I truly believe Tori will be back on a challenge within the next 2 years.
I mean, I didn't expect Brad to be back, and I'm down with what he's doing on the show. And I would like to, she hasn't been on since their season together or even before that. The Ruins. Was that her? So, is she on that one?
I don't like to be quizzed on the challenge. I don't know.
It's basically, I'm just saying.
Her last season was the one that they won together.
Okay, cool. So, whatever. I don't know what that one was. But like, it's...
I have to look. Well, you're never... inviting you back on because I hate when people do this to me. It's so annoying. Yes, it was Cutthroat. She won the Gauntlet 3. It was the Duel 2. And then she won Cutthroat.
I love it. Thank you. she should come back. It would be good TV.
All right.
I don't know if I want them to be on the show together, though. That's so much baggage. And who's going to look after the kids?
I actually think Shows versus Pros is probably a good spot for her because Brad won't be there and like she would be on and it would be for charity. So it wouldn't be like the drama of it.
And it's filmed in like a week and a half.
Right. All right. We interrupt this challenge podcast to bring you a word from Are You the One? I saw this unfold last night and I could not handle it and had to bring this to the challenge podcast. So forgive me if you don't watch Are You the One. I think it's juicy regardless, but we have another juicy challenge story after. So if you want to just skip ahead 30 seconds. So basically, if you can remember the people who were on Are You the One, Jaless and Anthony got into it on Twitter. And this is like hard for me to piece together, but basically he tweeted, and I can't really find any evidence of why he would have tweeted this if it was a subtweet at Jaless from her Twitter, but she tweeted... I guess like on January 7th, this is all I could find. She wrote, you can't miss someone if they aren't the same person. I find it hard to believe that he would have responded to this yesterday. So I think this was just a random subtweet. But he then tweeted, irrelevant people still trying to be relevant. Shrug man emoji, laugh cry emoji. And then Jaless retweeted it and said like, something, because I can't find the screen cap. I told you to bear with me here. She retweeted something to the effect of like, are you talking about your girlfriend, Shannon Duffy, who is trying to stay relevant? So then Anthony went in and said, this is so unprofessional. He said,
dear MTV, please put Jaless Ann on another show. One, she's desperate to stay relevant. And two, I won't hear from her for at least a month. Sincerely, the guy that doesn't want to date her.
Which I retweeted at like 3 a.m, like, bruh. So then Jaless writes, and tags him, Anthony and Alexis text from reunion night. 94% voted yes, including yours truly. And 6% at that time voted no, but it pretty much stayed like that. And then right before she went to bed, she posted these screen grabs. Supposedly from Alexis and Anthony, dated Saturday, November 11th, 3:16 a.m. Now, the name of this is only saved as Perfect, which I can see Anthony and Alexis were perfect matches. So he writes, allegedly, I mean, he hasn't come out and denied that this is him, but I don't know.
This is real. I think this is real.
So he says, what's your room? I'm solo. PM, wake up. Then she writes, hi, what are you doing? WRYD. I'm alone too, LMAO, 1131, sorry, talking to E, LOL. He writes, I'm drunk at AF. And then she writes, haha, are you alone? And then he says, where are you? 3:31 a.m. or not. And she says, haha, sorry, I just came to Kiana's room. There's people here watching the show. He says, LMFAO, I'm outside in the cold. Where are you at? Then she says, OMG, Anthony, my phone's on charge. We're in room 21. Then she says, are you okay? And these don't fully match up. So, like, these are definitely selections.
Yeah, I'm very confused on Jaless's Twitter feed right now. But
you cannot come in here. I have to do the whole thing before you react.
Do it. Do the thing.
So then she says,
thing.
Are you okay? PM, are you dating Shannon? LMAO. He says, LMAO, no comment. I'll tell you later. She says, LMAO, asked for a reason. Eye roll emoji. He said, talk to you after this. She said, okay, upside down smiley. Then she said, OMG, you're not staying here, are you? Cry emoji. He said, yeah, LOL, or not, LOL. She said, not what? I'm confused. I'm alone. Smiley, upright smiley, upside down smiley. Then he says, LOL, I don't know where I'm sleeping. I have no room. She says, you're such a dork. You can stay with me. I have an extra bed or my bed. We can fuck. And no one can say shit because guess what? Perfect match. Hawaiian, like, thumb finger shaking.
Hang yeah. loose.
And then he says, LMFAO, so true. Disco guy emoji, laugh cry emoji. I'll stay with you. She said, okay, two angel emojis. Now, this is what I want to know from you. Is this implicating? Is this damaging? You're in a relationship. You read these texts. Well, what do you feel?
I would dump both of them. Like, right? They're clearly, even if they're not, they don't go through with it. I don't remember what they said on the reunion, but like, dude, this is very clear that like she's coming on to you and you're letting it happen. And where's the proof of where he slept? And if he slept there, who's to say they did not have sex? Because if this is what they're talking like, they did.
Yeah, this was, and a lot of people responded as she was posting these screen caps, like, this isn't really that big a deal. Like, it, Gillespie made it like it was going to be like, hey, the sex we had last night was quite enjoyable. Like, thanks so much. Signed, Anthony. And here's my thumbprint and personal identification proving it's me. Like, she didn't really have, like, piping hot tea. This is more like lukewarm. I think the most...
tepid, yeah.
tepid tea. The most egregious part is, are you dating Shannon? And he says, no comment. I'll tell you later. You'll lose me at that.
Yeah, I mean he's a dog, but like,
so
I don't know. She's going for him as well. Like, there's no everyone involved in this is a guilty party, and that's why it's fun to watch.
So then Shannon, this is before. So nobody at this hour, I've checked every 10 minutes, nobody from Shannon and Anthony's camp has responded to this. Audrey liked those tweets, which I thought was funny. When she said, should I drop the text or not? Shannon retweeted that and said, I mean, should I drop your text that you sent him or do you keep planning on being obsessed? I fully believe Gillespie is like texting Anthony all the time. Like, I think Gillespie, regardless, this is a terrible look on Gillespie's part, but that's not new for her. And then
no, she was one of my least favorite on the show. That said, I think she would be like a bomb going off in the challenge house.
And then Shannon said, I forgot mermaids are salty, which is a subtweet because Gillespie's pin tweet is like, part mermaid. Okay. Then I went to the gram. I went to the Twitter. I was like, I got to see this. I'm thirsting for some response here. I want to see what's going on. The one time I need like freaking Shannon and Anthony to do like Instagram lives, the one time they're not saying shit. So Gillespie's story was she was like on, I guess this is Tinder or Hinge, some dating app. And I guess someone's using Anthony's photo. So she wrote, I swear that's at Anthony Martin's bio, though. Come on, Mike. Couldn't use a better bio. So, like, she's still there on Anthony. And maybe in the best reaction ever in the history of the world, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And Shannon and Anthony tweet a selfie from the movie theater or Instagram story a selfie. 11 out of 10 recommend watching Coco. Exclamation point heart. So they were just at a children's movie doing their thing. More on this story later, I hope. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, they're mess. They're all so messy. Everyone was touching each other in ways that I don't know. It's too much. It's too much going on with those people. They're so dramatic.
All right, we'll get back to the challenge, and I'm gonna have to tap you in on this because I want to. So all right, so this person from the Bad Girls Club, Danny V, tweeted out put on YouTube a video of her talking about a relationship with CT. I sent this to you to watch. We both sort of felt that it was pretty boring. If you want to give just like a quick synopsis of the story, she's
yeah. So at the time of Battle of the Exes, but like it had been taped, but it hadn't aired yet. She and CT are from the same hometown and they started going to the local TGI Fridays together because that's his spot. And they would they were becoming friends, drinking a bunch. They would live really close to each other, so they would give each other rides home and things like that. And then they started hooking up, but with a bunch of rules and stipulations about like the other person is to leave right away and like you're still going to be friends. And so she was basically saying like they caught feelings for each other, but wouldn't necessarily define the relationship in any way. And so over the course of like the show finally airing and revealing that he did really well on the show with Diem, he started treating her like shit, basically inviting her to places, but then bringing other girls and telling her that she has to show up with like the dudes that he's friends with instead of just him. And so he's basically like rubbing in her face the relationship on TV, the relationships with these women in their personal life, and also still like trying to like have her as an option. So it was like pretty douchey behavior, but like she also fully went along with all of it because I guess she was really into him. And the crux of the story is that she ended up getting pregnant by him and had a miscarriage, and he really treated her, from her account, like dog shit, in that he wasn't supportive. He kept telling her to get rid of it. He couldn't deal with it, and she was alluding that he was having like a drug problem. And then he took her to drinks, and like they, after the miscarriage had happened, and he cheers to dodging a bullet, which I thought was really douchey. It basically was like memoirs of a side chick, in a way that like really made me realize these people are from a small town, because like it was they were just going to TGI Fridays and Hibachi and the Rite Aid down the street. And I don't know, he's came off looking like a bit of a tool, but this was also many years ago. So I think Dad CT has rehabilitated his image, and here she is dragging him.
Okay.
What did you take?
So
is that correct?
That is totally correct. She posted a 45-second addendum about an hour before we jumped in the podcast, where she wrote, I'm going to leave this here just since it got everyone so upset that I told my story. Or first, I should say, she deleted the video. And she wrote, I took down the video about me and the official CT. It was something super personal that happened to me. And in 2018, I want to try and not talk about anything negative. And then she kept going. But Jemmy retweeted and said, this is none of my business, but sis, you should have made him pay to take that shit down. You need money. He doesn't want this attention. You would have just told your story and got a check. Just saying. Shrug emoji. So then she puts up this new compilation, which is like 45 seconds, and it's just parts edited together where she cuts out the part about the miscarriage and just tells the part about the toasting where he said he dodged a bullet talking about their child. And then he says, so she says, I'm going to leave this here just since it got everyone so upset that I told my story. Full video on YouTube. And yes, I said, put me on a show because I want to see what CT says to me. And also a check would be nice. Least I deserve. Shrug emoji. So at the end of this 45 seconds, she says she would love for MTV to put them on the challenge or X on the Beach together so that he has to look her in the eye. This was fully just a ploy. I'm sure the story is real, but it was fully just released to try to get on the challenge. Her Instagram name is IG: her Instagram handle, which is pretty bad as far as plugs go. So I'm fully out on this woman. I feel bad for her story, but like to end the story with, and MTV and Beauty Murray, please put me on the show, is pretty desperate. Again, I don't condone what CT did. It's such a sad story. My heart goes out to her. I don't agree with ending it with like a plea to be on television. So while I look for the reaction, I want to hear your reaction to
it
that.
It does feel like it discredits a bit of like the weight from the story, when it's just like, I went through this really shitty moment and you can use my story on TV if you want. Like you can put me on TV and I'll tell the same story and it'll be really dramatic. It'll be great. Versus like just saying, this is my story. It was really a hard time for me. And like people should know the truth, like expecting like reparations from a television network for what someone on their their network did. It's a little duplicitous, but I mean, like, yeah, of course you feel for this woman. Like that's a really hard thing to go through. But as we were talking also, if you can just go to her Twitter, you can see what she was wearing. And if anybody can tell me, if it's a sweater, it's basically like pants. So you're like, the legs of the pants go on your arm, then you wear a bra, and then you like leave a small strip of fabric to connect the two legs across your neck. And then that's the shirt. So if like my biggest takeaway at this point, because like we know like there was multiple intentions still going on, is like, who makes this type of clothes and why?
That was amazing. I mean, that's what we immediately talked about, that outfit. But so this exploded between Jemmy and Veronica, which is really the reason I'm bringing it to the forefront here. She tweeted a series of tweets that have since been deleted, but Jemmy's responses are such fire. She says, "I ain't shit, but you're asking to be on my show? Cry emoji, cry, just cry emoji. Girl, you are delusional AF. You should look into getting an SSI check. I think you may qualify." Says, "You can't put your bum bitch business on Twitter, then get mad when people make comments. That's what Twitter is for, homie." She says, "Girl, chill. I could never get cast again, and I can still pay my rent. Can you, boo-boo? Oh, wait, we all know you're broke and begging for money like a scrub. Get off Twitter and take your ass to the nearest employment agency." She says, so people are like, "Her video is pathetic, but you shouldn't undermine what happened to her." She says, "I'm not at all. The video is her message to share, but the meaning is lost when she decides to beg to be on the challenge, X on the beach, right or wrong. I laughed out loud, but I'm an asshole. Be right back. Making a video, begging MTV to put me on Battle of the X's with my ex, since he's a pro athlete and I need all the help I can get." Marie, remember that line because it comes back. Marie said, and she like screen grabbed a glass of orange juice on the counter behind the video, which also really accents the outfit that Danny's wearing. She says, "I'm not sure if this will get you on the show, but I am sure that's a vodka OJ. And if you add peach schnapps and cranberry juice, you'll def make sex on the beach." And Jemmy wrote, "I'm dead, deceased, rip me." Okay. Then Veronica pointed out, responded to a tweet that Danny tweeted, Danny V, that she had deleted. Veronica, like the true hero, says, "Wait, she deleted it, but good thing I had her page open in another tab, original tweet and comments below." And just to give you an idea of the stuff that Danny's been saying, "You're not a B, you're a C word. And who is a pro athlete? Chris? Begging to be on MTV? No. Suggesting? Yes. And all you real world bitches are only mad because when one bad girl," she's from Bad Girls Club, I don't know if I said that, "when one bad girl gets on all of us, when one bad girl gets on, all of us will. And Yahil," I think she meant y'all, but y'all. Irrelevant asses won't be getting calls anymore, heart. And Veronica's response to that was, "Just in case you never learned this in elementary, it's you are or you're. Also, one bad girl, any of us, y'all." So she just made some corrections and so then Danny
I love v, Veronica
Danny V says delete because she's not worth any of my attention or followers, lol, irrelevant. And this person Alexis just wrote, "Or because she roasted you and you're embarrassed."
Dang. I mean, you don't want to, I wouldn't mind going into an elimination against Veronica and Jemmy, but I definitely don't want to get in a Twitter battle with them.
Speaking of which, Jemmy posted that she wants to go on a podcast tour. Please start the campaign to get Jemmy on the show. Thanks everyone who reached out and said that she should be on the podcast. Let's keep that going. I would love to have Jemmy on the show. And just one last petty interaction between her and Veronica. She wrote, "Hopefully she logged all the way out and has moved her efforts to searching Indeed," which is just like such a good burn. Like when you bring up Indeed, it's just hilarious. Bryce
Indeed.
Does that a lot. And then Veronica says, "She seems like more of a Craigslist jobs type person to me." Just like so petty.
Hot girls wanted.
Yeah. Last quick thing. Bananas and Natalie were photographed on Thursday, January 11th at Zuma in New York City on a date. People are reporting that this was staged interaction. That's what Vevmo is saying. If you look at the photos to yourself, I mean, like, it's like, who's taking this picture? They're like right up against, it's like these fake paparazzi photos. Like they're not looking at the camera. They're canoodling. But it's as though I walked up to the edge of the table and said, "Smile," and took the picture. So keep doing you, Benatalie. Hopefully, this is like the longest podcast we've done of the season. Hopefully people bear with us.
And if you did send us both like pineapple things on Twitter, so we know.
All right, Johnny, thank you so much. This was always a pleasure to get into all of the drama and all of the strategy with you of the challenge. If you want to subscribe, you can and should do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. If you want to follow Johnny, which again, you should, you can do so at
Twitter, JLangs22, and then JohnnyLangan_ on Instagram.
Yeah, check out some more fresh accents and hot takes. Totally recommend. You can follow me at LashTweets. You can follow Brian at Cohen Brian_. I don't know. You know where to follow Brian.
That's correct. The Cohen Brian _.
Okay, great. He'll be back next week, and we will dig into all the more drama and strategy of episode 4. Thanks, guys.